Hello, we're going back to the Bridging the Gap event, this time to hear from one of the keynote speakers, Professor St John Crean, Pro Vice-Chancellor of the University of Central Lancashire. St John describes UCLAN's impressive range of support for health innovation and the active role of universities in bridging the gap between innovation and healthcare practice.
I'm delighted to be able to speak to you today. I'd like to say thank you to Peter Leather, who many of you have known possibly through various meetings in the past, who's helped me put this together, let's be honest. And I think it's an opportunity to highlight some of the work that the Innovation Agency encourages universities to partake in. And I think with Phil at the helm at the moment, there's been some great success in that ambition. And what I'm going to describe to you today, albeit quite personalised to our university, I'll explain a little bit about that. I think the message is that universities can play a role in this challenging time to bridge the gap, or mind the gap, I think, as we've mind the gap, I think, which I think probably just another play on the concept. COVID, I think, highlighted many of the challenges that the business environment faced. Universities faced them as well. Don't forget, we're businesses. We've got high turnover and we've got high salaries. We've got high pension demands. We've got high heating. Our heating has gone up from $4 million to $20 million this year. And yet we can't charge the customer any more money. Interesting. Any ministers in here today? No. What COVID did, I think, through the optic of COVID, highlights some of the roles that universities can play with our business colleagues in the business environment. I am what they call a Pro Vice-Chancellor. That means I sit beneath the Vice-Chancellor with my portfolio, as you can see, research and innovation. I work in a university in Lancashire, University of Central Lancashire. We are just shy of 40,000 students, so we've got quite a big presence. And it's a presence which extends beyond the campus into a number of the arenas. And one of the extensions, of course, is to work with Phil and the Innovation Agency and try and tap into the support that they provide into the business region. Particularly, we feel we have influence in the health arena. We are, I think, one of three Northwest universities that covers the spectrum of health training. Obviously, the two big metropolis universities here and in Manchester, but ourselves are the only universities that carry the whole spread of nursing, allied health, medicine, dentistry, optometry. We've just opened a veterinary school. So apart from advertising to you our portfolio, which is very similar to Manchester and Liverpool, we work very closely with the health environment. I think that's the message I wanted to get through. We're very close to the health environment and that health agenda, and therefore when we consider how we can support businesses, the first thing we offer, of course, is contact into that health arena. The medical technology sector, as many of you know, is a very large sector and employing north of 130,000 employees, over 4,000 companies. A large majority, as you can see, are of SME size, with a very eye-watering and eye-catching turnover. So there's no doubt it's an attractive field and arena to work within. And we as a university, along with many of the universities in the north, are looking to work very closely to get to help and support and develop methodologies of helping companies work into that arena. It's actively dispersed across the United Kingdom. It's very diverse. It offers a diverse job opportunities, particularly those in collaborative R&D, which I'm here to emphasise the potential, I think, that we can offer into that arena. And the United Kingdom, of course, the largest consumer of medical devices is the NHS. And given the scale and influence of the NHS has on the sectors, there's no doubt that encouraging SMEs to engage with the NHS or even larger companies, there are a number of challenges that need to be faced, or you possibly many of you have already come across those challenges. If you're seeking adoption of a product or a service by the NHS, it is important to understand that developing a new medical device requires more than a good idea and innovative engineering. It's a pretty regulated market, I'm sure many of you know that, with long development cycles and costly approval processes. The industry has a number of barriers preventing or perception is preventing the adoption of medical technologies, not least of which that the NHS obviously is the biggest purchaser of medical devices and technology, whilst being a major investor and wealth creator in the United Kingdom. It creates many of those barriers simply by its size. So understanding the challenges of getting into that health arena, and particularly the biggest purchaser of technology and developments, I think is absolutely vital. Peter has first showed me this slide a long time ago, and it stuck with me, because we all view the NHS as one organisation. But it's made up of a flotilla of various organs within that organisation. They all know what they're trying to do. They know where the journey is trying to go, and they know what aims, KPIs, etc. are trying to be achieved. But like a flotilla, each ship, of course, plays an important role in achieving that success. However, every ship's captain can act autonomously in certain situations. That's a challenge when you're trying to find out a methodology of how we engage in this arena. So the NHS is similar in this regard to autonomy in commissioning and in delivery. This autonomy brings, as I say, a number of challenges when you're trying to navigate the different processes. So how can we try and navigate? Well, it doesn't get any easier when we look at the governance and the oversight structure. As you know, it has since April and May of this year gone through significant challenges. If you've got a product or a service and you can demonstrate it meets a clinical need, that's great, providing demonstrable health benefits to patients and patients' care while helping to drive down the cost of healthcare delivery, you're in with a shout. But which door do you knock on? There are north of 220 NHS trusts and rising. There were over 130 CCGs. Now, as of May this year, of course, they've come together under ICSs and ICBs, made up of subsequent ICPs. There are 45,000 GPs in the UK. According to Theresa Coffey this morning, there's going to be a lot more by Monday morning. North of 112,000 doctors, north of 300,000 qualified nursing staff, and we've got 135 acute non-specialist trusts, 17 acute specialist trusts, 54 mental health trusts, 35 community providers, ambulance trusts, over 7,500 GP practices, and I could go on. It's a very challenging arena if you want to get into it. Where do you start? Well, the challenges are compounded by the challenges that the NHS is facing, of course. There's a recognition that healthcare costs are, my perception and my discussion with colleagues in the NHS, are unsustainable. Because the population refuses to die. Nobody wants to die. Everybody is delighted if they can live longer and longer and longer. The problem is, nobody told our organs. Our heart, our chest, our joints, our kidneys weren't really designed to live to north of 90 plus. And so people are living, but they are presenting with long-term, chronic, expensive challenges to deal with. It is grappling with the question of how best to access innovation, therefore, to benefit patients, to improve healthcare efficiency. And it has to be said, there are no shortage of ideas and solutions and products and services to meet this challenge. This room, I think, is evidence of that. The work that Phil does in the Innovation Agency is also evidence of that. There are plenty of ideas, and there is a great need. But there's a disproportionate effort between investment on development versus adopting and implementation. That is a challenge. So by way of example, a rule of thumb in industry is, you probably know, that for every pound spent in R&D, £4 is spent on disseminating that innovation. The NHS is the other way around. About £1.2 billion was spent annually on R&D in the NHS between 2013 and 18, but only £50 million was spent on innovation adoption. So it is a rather challenging arena to get in. You would think, of course, that if something was truly innovative, then widespread uptake and spread would occur organically. However, it's difficult for SMEs, smaller companies, to access this market due to the rules of procurement, the large-scale requirements, and pricing policies. To make this happen, innovations must have evidence. There must be evidence that they'll be more efficient and they'll be more effective when compared to existing products or practice, and at least turn out to be cost neutral, if not more affordable. Without such evidence and end-user endorsement, adoption of new innovations from SMEs is challenging. There's also a tendency to understand too little, perhaps, about the economics of innovations before they're introduced into the NHS. The NHS tends to introduce innovations on top of existing working practices and infrastructure, and some of these new innovations may be designed to replace the existing activities. However, as a result, innovations therefore are viewed as simply adding cost and with little or no gain if they're simply replacing. Translating ideas into products and services is complex, in nature, non-linear, and where each invention and technology is unique and develops its own pathway to commercialisation. So how can universities support you in this journey? And I think COVID highlighted some of that, that ability. Before you get to the point of selling a product within that healthcare arena, the process you have to navigate is, as you can see, quite complex, starting with ideas and concepts through R&D, approvals, regulation, product design, product development, manufacturing, clinical trials, evaluation, commercialization, adoption, and post-market. It's not linear. It requires many iterations throughout, with lots of cross-cutting activities in the form of intellectual property adding to the complications and obviously raising funds and investment. I'm going to give you some examples now of how we as a university, not unique, Phil will be able to give lots of other examples, but we have a pretty unique role in Lancashire. But there are lots of metropolis-based universities, other universities with a similar portfolio, who balance their health portfolio alongside engineering, technology, science and technology particularly. Where can we help? Here is the approach that we've taken to this access for SMEs to get into that health arena. Pete leads a team which has set up where in each of these stages we can support companies on that journey through. And that's because, of course, we're not in isolation. We're talking to the healthcare providers as well, because they, remember, are receiving thousands and thousands of our students on a daily basis. We're in close contact with these healthcare providers. So we can come up with policies and opportunities to demonstrate a supported journey through this challenging minefield. And therefore, I'm just going to give three examples. Phil knows these very well. We work very closely with Phil on one of them. These are just three examples of how we as a university have pivoted, if you like, to some degree, and we think with some success to demonstrate the types of support we can offer. But remember, I'm giving you my university's example, which of course we're very proud of, but wherever you're based, whether it's the Northwest or over the Pennines into the East metropolises, there's a very, very similar approaches are taken. So if we look at the first one, which is investment readiness. Investment readiness is an investment readiness program which helps Lancashire SMEs raise equity in investment. We do focus on Lancashire. We're here for Lancashire. We have a regional anchor role in that environment, like most universities have. We help our clients prepare for raising equity investment by gaining a thorough understanding of, for example, is equity investment the right vehicle, the process they will be engaging to raise equity, and in so doing, improving their investment prospects. Now, the program is delivered by a team of academics, thankfully no, a team of experienced investors and IP specialists, people who've been out there, people who are out there in that environment trying to raise money and have raised money in the past. And we have access to networks that those investors bring to the table. And the program is open and eligible to early stage or established SMEs. And the funding we help, or Pete and his team help individuals look for, ranges from 50,000 up to millions of pounds. Thus far, north of 200 companies have benefited from the programme, raising a total of 13.5 million, with 28 companies having accepted 10.5 million of investment, with new jobs being created. Of course, that's an important aspect of the work. Alongside the investment readiness, we have two programmes to finish off with to briefly describe. Pete and I call them Outside In and Inside Out. Medicom is a relatively new project which was funded by European monies, I believe, when we were part of the Great Kingdom of. And the aim was to help take ideas from inside the NHS and try and engage with the business community inside out. So we think, and I think many of you may have come across colleagues who are working within hospitals. Many of them have ideas, possibly even solutions to problems that they face every day. So developing solutions, however, to problems requires more than a good idea. We've already said that. That's a continuous theme throughout the challenges. And as previously said, translating ideas into products and services is quite complex in nature. It's non-linear, where each invention and technology is unique and develop its own pathway to commercialization. One size does not fit all. And a lack of knowledge or skills to engage in the process hinders progress in commercializing the solution. Basically saying that clinicians on the whole have great ideas but struggle when they try and make these ideas get into your inbox. And therefore, Pete and colleagues at the university came up with an idea where we went into the four trusts in our region, and with these four trusts, we worked with every partner trust, looking at various stages of ideas that are put forward by colleagues within the hospitals, looking at the various stages of undertaking institutional audits of any research and innovation activity, which highlights the areas of strength. We can prioritise and have prioritised commercial opportunities that came from that orbit to audit. And we support with making the commercialization and go-to-market journey easier. We start to speak the language of that's a good idea. How are we going to get that into your inbox and into your manufacturing arena? So far, although it's only been going a couple of years, COVID obviously hit hard. We've had Pete's had great success in this arena, and already we've taken ideas from gynecology, cancer, general surgery, intensive care, mental health, robotics, therapeutics, diagnostics, the coming power of technology, surgical training, pharmacy, and simulation techniques. Just to give you an example of many of the products that we've gone into hospitals, listened to the ideas, and taken them through into that commercialization journey, inside out. But finally, a project which the Innovation Agency has been a champion of and has matured and grown its effectiveness. And we work very closely with the Innovation Agency, what's known as the Health Matters Programme. We named ours, obviously, the Lancashire Health Matters. Geography will dictate its title. But the Lancashire Health Matters Programme, I think, is a fantastic programme because it's an outside-in project. If you have ideas, how can we get you into the NHS? That's the bottom line. And again, our connection as being a healthcare trainer puts us on the front door, puts us in boards, puts us in meetings with procurement officers, puts us on board with ICBs, of course. And that's very important because the ICBs and the various officers with the portfolios are going to play an increasingly important role going forward. So the Health Matters programme is to help SMEs obviously sell your products into the healthcare arena, particularly the NHS, and trying to recognising all the problems we've discussed in the last sort of 15, 20 minutes, that the population's growing and ageing and adoption of innovation technology is a challenge. The solution, which the idea that's come from the Innovation Agency, which Pete and colleagues have taken on locally, is to focus the programme to accelerate adoption, if at all possible, and spread of products and services that already exist to help the NHS to improve its care and services to its clients. We, as a university, work with the Innovation Agency to connect SMEs into social care markets as well as NHS, and it offers SMEs and clinical and commercial advice about their products and the reality of how they're going to get it in. And then if we look at an opportunity of taking a chosen product and doing a real-world validation assessment. And the real-world validation assessment is very important to discover what key data points will provide evidence where we can show impact or requires improvement. Once those data points are agreed, then our academics at the university with experience of analysis and validation of these types of products based on their academic expertise as well as their clinical engagement will propose a methodology to capture that data. And so we will work with the companies on assessments which will generate information about things like costs, staff, patient benefits, help create a business case for further, most importantly, investment to purchase to develop, and so that the purchase looks to a good purchasing. Sorry, the product looks a good purchasing option for the NHS. That assessment is taken by by our academics, by our university academics, and I think that's one of the key roles we can have. The academics themselves are now, from my perspective, thank you very much, they're not sitting there looking up to the sky saying it's nice and blue, what can I think of today? They're actually making the most of their time to deal with problems that actually affect all of us and all the community. And that, of course, is what the government wants. It's been a very successful project as Health Matters. 50 SMEs have been rolled onto the programme, 17 real-world validation assessments so far, with £35 million worth of contracts secured, and again, tens and tens and tens of new jobs created. I hope the message that I've gotten through to you is that universities can seem quite a daunting environment to try and break into, but they are far more open and they're far more useful, I think, possibly to you than perhaps you've given thought to in the past. We work with some fantastic partners. We work with Innovation Agency being the prime example. We are there if you need to contact us in Lancashire. Liverpool has its a very strong similar projects, Manchester and over into Leeds and beyond. So thank you very much for your time. I guess we can catch up later if there's any questions. I think I've used up all my time. Yep.
Thank you, Professor St John Crean. If you'd like to view slides, video interviews and photos from the Bridging the Gap event, there are links on the podcast page.